Go.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Welcome. It's the final day of the TESOL conference, but I have some excellent invited speakers for today. So today, the first session is going to be Vance Stevens. He's going to be presenting Crossing Networks, Building Connections to Inspire Always On Learners and Teachers. Now, Vance has 20 years of EFL-ESL teaching, both the United States and the UAE. He currently teaches at Khalifa bin Zayed Air College in the UAE. He's on the executive committee of the Asia-Pacific Association for CALL and the editorial board of the TESOL Electronic Journal and CALL Journal. Previously, he served on the editorial board for TESOL Quarterly and was a founding member and past chair of the CALL intersection of TESOL. In 1998, he founded Webheads in Action, an online community of teachers and educators dedicated to participant-driven professional development. And since 2010, he's led weekly podcasts on learningtogether.net. He presents and publishes widely on the convergence of language learning and educational technology. And for a complete list of his work, please go to vancestevens.com/papers. So without further ado, please welcome Vance Stevens.
Hello, everybody. Not a big crowd, but it's okay. You're very welcome, and we can be rather informal. I'm kind of a very informal kind of guy. I'm doing this on the iPad. Here, I'm recording. Is this in anybody's way? I discovered they weren't recording this, so I just thought I'd just run Audacity. Why not get a recording? Make sure that doesn't fall over. I'm doing this on an iPad. I'm using Google Slides. And there we are. So you might want to shut your eyes at some points during the presentation in case things go dizzyingly. So just look away from the screen if you feel ill or anything like that. This screen has some very important information, and that is that at the bottom, Internet's working really well here today, so you could actually go there if you want. If you go to tinyurl.com/Vance2015, featured. This is a featured speech. My second one at TESOL. And if you go there, you'll find these slides, and you can follow along if you want. And also, there are a lot of links, so we can pop in and out of the links ourselves up here. But if you want to explore on your own, you'll see that that all the links are working. Oh, let me just put it back, so make sure. Does anybody need that for any more length of time? Maybe somebody can remind me what it is we have to ask later. Oh, by the way, too, I'm so informal, and we're so few of us here, that looks like we've got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people here so far. Feel free to come up, ask questions if you want. You're not going to interrupt me. I might pause every now and then to ask you if you have any questions, or if you want to discuss something, or if you want to see something in greater depth. Since it's all online, it's not really essential that I cover everything, because you've got it. Okay. So I'm happy to talk about it as we go. That's kind of what I do every week. Michael mentioned something called Learning Together. Have you ever heard of Learning Together? LearningTogether.net. We're going to look at it together. There's a few things I've been doing. Actually, in the abstract, I said I'd been doing this for 15 years, but actually, when I actually calculated, it's about 18 years that we've been online, forming communities, basically doing exactly what the conference theme says, crossing networks, building connections, to inspire always-on learners and teachers. And we formed communities of practice of learners and teachers to put that into practice, and I'll show you a lot more about it as we go. So has everybody got the, this is this URL at the bottom, tinyurl.com/Vance2015 featured will take you to my slide presentation. If anybody needs to see that again, just ask for it. So this is for those who come not here, not today, but if they come online later, and this just positions us where we are. We're at a featured invited speaker session. at the TESOL conference in Toronto. Since I'm recording it also, I might say things for the record. Oh, by the way, normally if I make a recording and it comes out okay, I'll probably podcast this. I'll blog it, I'll podcast it, and I'll put the links in the slide presentation so you'll be able to get at the recording as well. So anyway, I think I said something in my abstract. I said something to the effect that, I changed this a little bit. Actually, I've had almost 20 years of experience working with people in virtual spaces, learners and teachers. I've especially lately been getting more into communities of practice of teachers. I don't know if you're familiar with, is anybody here do EVO, Electronic Village Online? Any Electronic Village Online people here? Okay, well, we'll learn more about that. That's a really, has anybody by any chance hang out down the hall in room 701, which is the Electronic Village? Have you been there? Okay, a couple of people have been there. That's good. So the Electronic Village has an online component, Electronic Village Online. So what goes on in the Electronic Village, we try to do online as well. But anyway, and the things that has developed into over the years is the burgeoning of connectivist learning opportunities, which we can all avail ourselves of. Are you familiar with connectivism? You know who? Do you know the author of the paper in 2004, George Siemens? Okay. All right. Well, we'll learn a little bit more about him today, and then we'll see some examples. If I really wanted to make a catalog of examples, I could probably take a couple of hours. But so what I've done is I've used as an example my last EVO session, which was on Minecraft. So I'm going to be talking really about learning together, EVO, and Minecraft, and the communities that have built up around those some of those efforts. So first of all, we'll start with a history lesson. In 1994, the first blog post was made. So that's just to root ourselves in history. Justin Hall, I think was his name. Justin Hall. He was working at Wired.com, or no, maybe it wasn't even .com. It was Wired magazine. And then he was working with Howard Rheingold at the time as well. I don't know if you know Howard Rheingold, very flamboyant professor from Stanford. And he created a weblog. It was one of the things he could do online. It was the very first one in 1994. So that's just, you know, trying to give ourselves a little bit of perspective. In 1995, okay, 1 year later, Dave Wynette, in Berkeley, in California, a good colleague of mine, started something called study.com. What did he just set up a website? He got a domain, called it study.com, and he put a website at study.com, which was actually active up until just last year. He's study.com doesn't go there anymore, but that's quite a long stretch. He's, you know, what, 10 years, 20 years? Yeah, 20 years, okay. So what that was is a site where English teachers could, or English learners could go and find chat spaces. It was very active at one time, people to talk to. Teachers would volunteer to teach courses. The first courses were email courses. Somewhere around 1997, I think I started my course. It was called Grammar and Writing. I started that course as email, and then one of my students produced a web page for it. He said, what you need is a web page. He was an Italian guy. He set up a web page. Boy, I saw the light. I learned coding quickly after that. I learned HTML and started setting up my own spaces. And then I moved to the United Arab Emirates and set up a language center, language school. And we had a server that was running all the time. So Dave Wynette, meanwhile, was sending people to virtual spaces like the Palace. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But anyway, we had virtual spaces. The students were interested in that kind of learning in virtual spaces. He sent them to me and somebody named Michael Coughlin and somebody else named Maggie Doty. And the three of us kind of converged together online, and we formed we converged because the students, we had similar time zones where we'd meet in the palace. And our students kind of merged and converged. And that's where Writing for Webheads came from. One nice thing about the iPad is I can click on links. And this is Writing for Webheads. This is the website that I set up. It's very Web 1.0. And there's no, there's nothing Web 2.0 here. The students would send me writings, or they would write in some space, and then I would put them on the website. And these are the students. They started sending me pictures. And a lot of people here are students, and some are learners. So basically, we had lots of writing going on for several years. I gave a presentation on MOOCs. It had at least 100 people in it, which was almost a MOOC. So we were running amok. One of many bad mukbangs. Are you familiar with MOOCs? You guys take MOOCs? Has anybody done a MOOC? Okay, good. Great. Okay, so anyway, and that took off so well that in 2000, I was invited to be a featured speaker at the conference in Vancouver. And we had a computer where the Webhead students came online. That was actually very unusual back at that time. I wasn't even sure they would show up. We were just learning that you could trust people online back then. Just getting the pictures sent, you know, if a couple people sent them in, then suddenly they flooded. But people wouldn't even tell us their real names. There's one guy went by the name of Bahia, and he turned out to be from Brazil. His name was Felix. So anyway, I got to know these people quite well. But at first, they were very tentative about, you know, divulging too much about themselves. But eventually, a community did form. Okay. That went dark because, you know, never mind. I think the battery's fine on it. It should last. Okay, so in any event, I did a session in the Vancouver TESOL in 2000, where we had students from online talking in actually a packed room because it wasn't on the last day. And from that kind of attention, a lot of English teachers started getting interested in what we were doing, and they were coming online and meeting our students, and we had a really nice community going. It was using voice chat clients at the time, putting them on our Web 1 spaces. And that eventually, well, let's see, the next significant event here, I actually left it out. 2001, EVO started. The Electronic Village, the people in the Cal IS interest section decided that it would be a really neat idea to put the, to make Electronic Village have a virtual component. If you're not familiar with it, it is a 2-month session, January and February, before the conference. The idea is to get people together before the conference to let them have another space. To meet together and, you know, sort of flipping the conference in a way, because when you arrive, then you know the people, you know some people, you've been doing learning with them, and you don't have to just come here and go and not come back until next year. So in 2001, that got started. In 2002, I gave a session called Webheads in Action, an EVO session, and that became very, very popular. The people in the session, because it was just at the right time, people were ready to get engaged with one another. You know, Web 2 was just coming on. We had all kinds of really neat, innovative things we could do with students with each other. And so, let's see, we can pop out and have a look at it. That's the Webheads in Action Community of Practice. And it's similar to this is the original one from 2002. So these are a lot of teachers. Maybe you know some of these people. I don't know, this Gary Karkin, he's been around at the conference. I don't know if I see any other faces. Do you recognize anybody? Anyway. It's my wife. Okay, anyhow. So we formed this community of practice that is still going on today. So it started as an EVO session, and now it's got over 1,000 people that we know about, but we're also a very connected network. So it's kind of getting some people say they're webheads, but they don't carry identity cards. So they call themselves webheads. But webheads, actually, if you use that as a tag, you'll find a lot of Spider-Man, those people use webheads. So I call it webheads in action, and that's the tag I prefer to use. Any questions? Feel free to run a question at me. All right. Well, if you need to, just pop a question. So, anybody know how to work an iPad? Oh, sorry, I just had to find the button. Okay. So anyway, there we go. All right. So Webheads in Action was formed. 2 years later, this group was interacting. George Siemens, whom I mentioned, wrote this article on connectivism. Oops. That was supposed to go out to the site. There, no. It doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway, you can look it up. You know, that link actually works. So if you're interested in connectivism, you can. Very interesting article. The idea of connectivism is that we have spaces where we can meet now. So the most important thing, it has a lot to do with knowledge dissemination in networks. So what it means is if you're connected, then you have access to the smartest person in the room. You are as intelligent as the smartest person in the room. You have that information at your fingertips if you're in a connected space. And the knowledge that you create, that you generate, goes into the network and comes back to you. And you can access it. As we know, we don't really have to carry dictionaries around with us. We can get information. A famous quote from that article is that the pipes are more important than the content within the pipes. So it's not no more focus on what everybody knows. It's how quickly you can get at it. Can you get what you need to know? So a year later, a couple of very connectivist guys named Jeff LeBeau and Dave Cormier started a project they called worldbridges.com, actually. And one of those sidelights of that was EdTech Talk. Let's see if that'll work. Okay, there's EdTech Talk. This is something that's been going on since 2005. It involves Dave Cormier, who is going to come back later to start the first MOOC in 2008. So basically, it's a space where people can have hangouts. That's been going on for a long time. They helped. We connected with them, so they're part of our network now. So a year later, we decided to put on what we call the Webheads in Action Online Convergence. Webheads in Action Online Convergence is a pretty neat program. This was the first one we had. Let's see if I can get another one. Anyway. Because actually, our website's improved. I'm looking for the speakers. We ran it in the Moodle, which is no longer online. Okay, that's not the best example. But anyway, we did this. What it was we thought it was time to have a conference that we put on ourselves, because we were really going strong. We had the connectivity tools. Up to that time, the only way you could engage in an online conference that I'm aware of was with a credit card. So we decided to do it for free, and we decided to do it without funding, just ourselves. And it was an event that repeated in 2007 and 2009, and it went for 3 days. It was a very intensive event. We didn't get a lot of sleep during that time. We got really supercharged. Let's see. Here's the one in 2007. Oh, this is a little bit nicer. George Siemens is the guy who wrote the article on connectivism. Are you familiar with any of these people? You know, Etienne Wenger? Yeah, Etienne Wenger. Let's click on him. He's a community of practice. That's taking us to his website. Okay, so that's not exactly. Here we go. Get back to that. I think I have a better organized website here at the keynotes. There we go. There's their pictures here. All right. So there's the people who presented. So we're getting a little bit better at making websites. And this was all assisted by Jeff LeBeau at World Bridges, who was running the connectivity part, the webcasting for us. We also fell into some people called LearningTimes.com, I suppose, LearningTimes.com. They have provided us over the years an ongoing grant for an Illuminate, or it's now called Blackboard Collaborate space. And we've been using that space for free. And, you know, none of this has any funding whatsoever. It's all done for free by volunteers. Have you ever read Clay Shirky's Cognitive Surplus, by any chance? Do you know who Clay Shirky is? His idea of cognitive surplus is that, he says when he was young, he used to watch Gilligan's Island. Did you ever do that? Now we're starting to relate with his audience, okay. Anyway, now that the internet has come along, people no longer waste this cognitive surplus in Gilligan's Island. Now people are able to take advantage of the tools they have at their fingertips to spend that time engaged in productive activities. And usually it's social, and usually it's for free. I mean, just take the whole open source, you know, development of Linux, let's say, you know, as an alternative to Microsoft's products. That was all done by somebody working in Budapest, I think. Or no, it was in Finland. Anyway, they had long winters. So he spent a lot of time, and then he put it all out for free. He just gave it all away. Linus Torvig, I think. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. Feel free to just butt in. Just shout at me if you want. Oops, that went off. Okay, that went off too. Okay, so going back to the presentation and the history lesson here. So WebEds in Action had three convergences, three online conferences, and the year after that, another conference started up called K-12 Online. So this started a flood now of free conferences. K-12, have you ever been to K-12 Online? Or have you ever, do you know about the ISTE conference? Yes, yay, K-12 Online, yes. Okay, so that's a really nice conference. It's actually asynchronous mostly, but people make these presentations, set pieces, which it's got a trove, since it's been going since 2006, it's a really nice resource for finding interesting presentations about really neat tools. Then in 2007, George Siemens, the guy we met earlier, came along and put on a Future of Learning conference, which is really an academic conference, which was free again, this is unusual, but it was really unusual to have such a high quality conference. And a year later, he and Dave Cormier and Stephen Downs put on the first Connectivist MOOC. And this is what it looked like. It was called Connectivism and Connectivist Learning. And it was amazing because, well, first of all, they did it as a course at their university. And they decided to invite the world. And they thought, well, they're going to get 100 people. And of course, they got thousands, you know. So as this was happening to them, a lot of people were laughing and say, well, what are you going to do now, you know? Stephen Downs said, well, I'll probably learn from it, which is basically what everybody did. So I don't know if you, did you know that MOOCs started in 2008? What do you think is the first MOOC? What do you think of when you think of MOOC? Well, a lot of people, at that presentation we went to the other day, I asked that question, and a lot of people weren't familiar with the connectivist side of it. MOOCs have actually differentiated into C-MOOCs, which are the ones that started in 2008, and X-MOOCs, and that's named by George Siemens after edX. So edX is one of the companies. The first X-MOOC was put on by Sebastian Thrun. Do you know Sebastian Thrun? Have you heard of him? He was a professor at Stanford, tenure track professor. He got together with Norvig. I can't remember his first name off the top of my head. Anybody know it? Anyway, they put together a course on artificial intelligence, AI, where they engaged Amazon to do some robo-marking for them. And they actually matriculated a couple thousand people from that course. And it was on artificial intelligence. So they proved a concept, which was that you could actually use this MOOC idea to on a university level, you know, in an accredited space. And Sebastian Thruin was so proud of himself that he quit Stanford, his tenure track position. Actually, he got a job at Google. But then he quickly, after that, started a company called Udacity. And Coursera came along after that. You've probably heard of those. Those are the ex-MOOCs. A lot of people think that that's where MOOCs got started. So, anyhow, let's see. We're coming toward the top of the hour, are we? Yeah, okay. All right. So I should probably move along a bit. Anyway, the important part of this slide is that learning together got started from... Yes? Yes. For credit, yeah, that's right. I believe it was for credit. I'm pretty sure it was because they were able to determine through Amazon.com, through some algorithms developed by Amazon.com, that who had actually accomplished the tasks, you know, that would get them the credit in artificial intelligence. Okay, well, anyway, so from those three convergences we put on, we developed something called Learning Together, which is, I didn't like the three-day format. That just drove me crazy. And I did it every other year because I just couldn't get steeled up to do it, and I couldn't get anybody to take it on for 2011. So I decided to do it on a weekly basis. Anyway, I don't actually have a link there, but it's really easy to put into your browser. WebEds.info takes you to this page. At the top of that page, there's links to a lot of our spaces. So if you're interested in exploring this web headosphere, you can do it there at WebEds.info. You can also join WebEds if you want. The second link over is the Yahoo group where the card-carrying WebEds hang out. It's just an old kind of forum, but it's very active. People are asking questions all the time, helping one another. So we've got quite a lot of people who really enjoy interacting in this space. So learning together evolved because in writing for WebEds, we met synchronously each week. And remember, we started that in 1998. We might have started it earlier, but the first actual online records we have are from 1998. We've got chat logs. If you go to WebEds, writing for WebEds, the link, you can click on the chat logs, and some of them have been used in research studies, you know, people studying discourse online. Then WebEds in Action carried the habit forward. So basically, we have the habit of meeting every Sunday around noon, 1300, 1400 GMT, which here translates to about 9 in the morning. So you could join us if you wanted, but right now learning together has gotten to be a more formal space. Not formal really, but it's a space where we have presentations. I'll show you a little bit about that. Anyway, I've got a link to the chat logs there. Here, I'll just click on it. Okay, these are the chat logs. So you can see our chat logs, they're all done by year. So if you click on one of those, you can see the logs we kept. So actually, each of these links takes you to the actual logs. So there's a lot of data there if anybody's interested in it. We don't do that anymore. we meet in Hangouts now. So anyhow, Learning Together has hosted about 250 events since we started in 2010 doing this every week. So count, you know, do the math, 50 times a year, more or less. So it's actually 235 events that we've had. And they're informal. We don't encourage, you know, if I went to hear George Stevens speak, I mean, he has come on to he's come on to Learning Together and talked to us. But if I want to hear him speak, I can Google him, you know? And, you know, he's just prolific online. So the people that you really want to hear from are people like you, you know? What are you doing that's really neat, you know? So we try to find people to come on and speak to other teachers. That's really what we do. So in this presentation, I can explain a little bit about how that works. It works on two basic spaces. One is a wiki space, and the other is a web page. So in the wiki space, this is the front page of the wiki space. If you go there, you can click on our next scheduled event, which takes you right down to the next Sunday in the calendar. Or you can see a full program of events, which is more convenient if you want to get an overview of that page. You can get links to our Facebook page, things like that. This, by the way, is a public wiki planning space. The reason it's a wiki is that my dream is that people would join the space and then post their own events, and I wouldn't have to bother with a big chunk of my time each week. That hasn't really come off. People are still a little bit shy about that, but sometimes people do. This is the page, the link at the top will take you here, and this is the page that has the link to our next events. You can click there and go to our next events, or you can also find an archive over here. So rather than jump to those spaces, I might want to show you the archive. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. So let's see if I've got it here. This is what the next upcoming events looks like. If you click on that link, and there's the archive space. So if I click there, that's in the sidebar, as you saw. So you can find it from the sidebar. If you go to learningtogether.pbworks.com, oh, there is the front space. There's the archives down at the bottom, so I'll just click there. I showed this to somebody the other day, and she was impressed, so I'll try to impress you. Here we go. So this is where you can get an index of all the recordings that we've made in Learning Together, all 200 and so many of them. And here they are. They're listed this year. So each of those goes to a space. I think we were just, okay, that's 2014, I guess. So there's quite a lot of them. This is where you're going to get dizzy. So if you get dizzy, just look away. anyway, a dizzying array of speakers and presentations. All of them recorded, some of them in Illuminate, some of them in Hangout. So I got to pop to the top because we were just looking at one earlier, which I think we have queued. Well, let me just go and see if it's here. If I can find here it is, this one right there. Okay, this is a teacher in Mexico who had a problem. She was doing distance education. She's working with indigenous communities. She's got to reach them at a distance. So she was just looking for some pointers. So let's see if we can get her on here. Whoops. Uh-oh. I just hit this button on the side by mistake that turns everything off.
So let's see here. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. If you don't have a headset, please do mute your mic. We'll just get a slight sound on the back end there. Hi. I'm Matt Stevens, Alpine, UAB. We're at find something where I can read here. We're at a Learning Together TILL. That's Teachers for Interactive Language Learning.
That's another community that we interact with.
This is Sunday, March 1st, 2015. And this was instigated by Benjamin Stewart and myself after Kara, a neighbor, got in touch with us. I believe that must be Kara. One of you must be Kara.
We haven't met her.
That's Kara in the middle. Okay. Hi, Kara. Okay. So she is a...
So that gives you an idea of what we do. We just meet together. And another person we're in touch with is Tyson Seaburn here in Ontario, in Toronto. Toronto, TESOL, is it? TESOL Toronto. TESOL Toronto, I think, is his organization. So you know, we sort of connect with a lot of people. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Because, you know, I could probably just go right up to the end. But if you have questions, you're welcome to ask them at any time. Yes, uh-huh. Okay, her question is, are there any groups of students that can go online and do that? We don't have it anymore. What happened with the original Webheads and Writing for Webheads that started in 1998, they were very strong. As we started getting the teachers into the mix, we imbalanced it. And the student voices began to be suppressed a little bit. And that's actually was a concern of mine, because we were hearing a lot of, you know, the chat was all, the discourse was all teacher talk. And the students were not having the same atmosphere that they did. So my idea really was to get the teachers into a group. That's why I started the Webheads in Action, to get them into their own group and then go back with the students. But by then, these things are fragile, so the students kind of dissipated. Meanwhile, I've been working pretty much with teachers and those communities. Okay, any other questions? Feel free to ask, just interrupt at any time. So, okay, this is the blog space. It's a WordPress blog, and I archive everything, as you can see, in the blog. So the wiki space is where we try to organize things and work on our projects and get things set up, and then it's archived in the blog space, which you just saw. And the blog space, by the way, has an About tab. If you click on About, you can go there. LearningTogether.net is the name of the URL, and LearningTogether.net/about takes you to a space that gives you all the other links. So, and also slideshows about more about Learning Together. Okay, I think I'm going to show you the rest of the presentation and what's here, and as a guide, if you want more information, you can explore these spaces. I'll just show you what is included in this presentation. We're into the crossing networks part. Okay, so when I create a blog post, I scoop it. Are you familiar with Scoop It? It's got some nice affordances because you can post to Twitter as well as and also to LinkedIn. So you can get a, and it's a good idea also to tag your posts. Our tag is hashtag learning together. Learning to. It's like, okay, learning together. That's our tag right there, learning together. That must be a search on learning together. Okay, so building connections already. Okay, so we have Facebook groups. Facebook's, when I set up an event, I post it, I announce it to Facebook. I announce it to our Google Plus communities. Till was one of them. That's the one at the bottom. That's, that has a 10950 over. That's teachers for I can't remember the I is language learning, obviously. Interactive and teach. Thank you very much. Reading off the screen. Good for you. Okay, teachers for interactive language learning. So these are some of the communities that I post to. So this is just to announce the events. This is something called Tagboard. Tagboard will take any tag and aggregate the content. So you can see, let's see if I just pop out and see it. This is our Tagboard for Learning Together. You can put any tag in there and it'll show you, it'll aggregate from Twitter, from Google Communities. So you can see that, getting mostly from Google Plus communities. Okay. So these are ways we can interact with each other through our tags, not just, you know, asynchronously as well as synchronously. And we use Hangouts on Air a lot. This is my co-collaborator in the EVO MOOC we just did, the Minecraft MOOC, Jeff Kuhn. I don't know if you know Jeff. Anyway, he's turned out to be a real star. But we go into Hangout. Hangout has lots of nice affordances because it's a Google product. If you're working off a Google Plus community, then you segue pretty easily into these tools. But what we do is we take the we you can set up a blog, anything that will take an embed. Okay. So any space that will take an embed, this happens to be WebEd's in action. Remember Jeff LeBeau set up this World Bridges, he took out a domain called webedsinaction.org, and he's got a Drupal site there. So we set it up here. But you can take the YouTube embed from a Hangout, and when the Hangout is on, it streams it. So anybody can go and look at the streaming video if they want. And as soon as the Hangout ends, pretty soon, almost instantaneously, like, you know, a few seconds or minutes or something like that, it puts the recording there. So that embed streams while you're doing the Hangout, presents the recording afterwards. Hangout only allows 10 people to come into the Hangout itself. So for people who don't feel like participating in the Hangout because they haven't taken their curlers out yet in the morning, or they just can't get in, we embed a text chat. We use Chatwing. We've also used these Etherpad clones, but you can embed them in the same, 5 minutes, okay. You can embed them in the same space. So anything that embeds, you can put a YouTube video, which is going to stream your Hangout, and then you can put a chat link there, a chat embed, and people can interact with you. So you don't lose people, because the problem with the Hangouts is the 11th person doesn't know what to do, except just watch. Okay, so basically, I was going to talk a little bit about how this impacts practice, but you know, I'm going to gloss over this for right now and talk a little bit about EVO Minecraft MOOC, which is the EVO Sessions takes you to evosessions.pbworks.com, takes you to more information about EVO. These are some of the sessions that I've started. I was doing something called multi-literacies for some time, about 10 years I think I was doing something like that, and then it turned into something called Multimook. But that sort of fizzled, and so my last one was EVO Minecraft MOOC. And using the connectivist principles and gamification principles. You can see this all yourself, of course. This is why we did it. It's very engaging. The abstract for the proposal is very interesting. This is the interesting point, that I am not an expert at Minecraft. In fact, I was just interested in it. I didn't really know how to play it. But I figured, why not just set up an EVO session? I'm looking for a session. Minecraft, cool. Wow. Yeah. And so basically my idea of putting on the session, starting the session, was to attract people who could teach me. Okay, and we could learn together that way, right? So this is the abstract. This is the pitch. The target audience is teachers with a gaming problem, gamers with a teaching problem, or teachers of gamers with a learning problem. Okay, so with that pitch, we attracted some people. We're basically gamifying our EVO session by taking risks. We're putting the instructor in the same position that the students would be in if you wanted to use this in class. So it's a risk. Any game has a risk. So we're back to actually gamifying our EVO experience, you know, ourselves. And I didn't know how to play the game or, heaven forbid, how to teach it. You know, I'm not expecting to teach. I'm expecting people to learn. You know, that's a big difference. We didn't know if it would work or what the outcomes would be, so that's the risk. And we basically thought if we set up the space that people would learn it. An interesting flip from this was that a lot of the participants were 11 years old, 12 years old, okay? And they were the ones who started teaching us. So it turns out that in this situation, when you take this into class, students typically take charge of the learning experience and start teaching the teachers, and they get really excited about it. So they get their self-esteem increases. Teachers get an awareness of what it is like to be in this kind of environment, because now they're the learners all of a sudden. So it's a real flip. This is an 11-year-old kid, Philip Smolchitz, made a video about how to survive, because that's what you really need to know when you first get to Minecraft, is how to stay alive. We put it in Google Plus communities. How much time have I got? Over? 1 minute? Okay. This is Jeff. We attracted Jeff. Jeff got into this. He was our mentor. Okay, so, and he became one of our moderators. So his being in the mix, and he brought other people with him from Ohio. Aaron Schwartz, for example, is also into Minecraft. So we got a lot of people doing this. So basically what we're trying to do, I think by now you must be inspired. So you're the inspired teachers and learners. There's more evidence of how we're learning how to design spaces where we can work with students in engaging ways. And there's a lot of stuff you can find out about Minecraft, about how that works. Let's see. So we're about to the end of the slides here. Basically, we ran it as a MOOC, and it actually kind of came, it had a 60 people, I think, 60 people signed up for it. The community is still posting to the Google Plus page, so a community forms out of such experiences. And we reboot our learning using the community as curriculum. Community as curriculum means that the curriculum is not laid down by somebody at the top, but basically you see what people want to do. And if they're real learners, you know, if they're really capable of articulating the literacies involved with learning, you know, so it doesn't work for obviously everybody in public schools, you know, but for people who really want to learn, this is a really good way to go. More information on community and more information on community as curriculum at that link at the bottom. Oh, because that's a presentation I gave yesterday, and you can see the slides there as well. So you can follow the slideshow off into the last presentation. So basically, ending up with references, a very good thank you to you, and a reminder that the slides are here at this tinyurl.com/vance2015featured. That will get you the slide presentation, and you can explore it yourself, and there's more about learning together. I don't know if we have time for questions. We asked during the, yeah?
Yay.
Well, thank you. Gosh, that's a lot of clapping for a dozen people. Thanks very much. If you have anything you want to talk about it, I'm here. And I hang out in room 701 down the hall. I'm doing a webcast at noon, I think. Okay, thank you very much. That was recorded and will be podcast. The link will be on the slides.